we'll stay on this topic and bring in our next guest, Shai Akabas, Bipartisan Policy Center Economic Policy Project Director. Thank you so much for your time, sir. You know, Congress is getting a fair bit done, right? So they got the funding done. Now they're moving forward on this debt ceiling. Tell us, what is the dollar amount of this deal? And then how long does it last?
Yeah, Congress has cleared a number of things out of the way in the last few weeks. On the debt limit in particular, they're expected to increase it by $2.5 trillion in this legislation. And we at the Bipartisan Policy Center expect that that will likely get them at least into 2023 when it comes to the next time that they'll have to address this issue. So a little bit more breathing room than they've had recently, certainly not this month-to-month situation that we had this fall.
And Shai, certainly it gets them past the all-important midterm elections next year as well. I'm sure that was definitely by design. But I know, I mean, going forward, yes, okay, we're going to raise the debt ceiling this time and sort of, in essence, kick the can down the road until this becomes a debate again into the 11th hour. I know there's a new bipartisan bill that was proposed to eliminate this debt ceiling issue once and for all in the future. What does that bill entail? And do you think it has a real shot at passing and becoming law?
Yeah, so it's really remarkable that we live in such an important economy in the world, and yet nearly every year we come up against the debt limit and threaten to not pay our bills in full and on time. So this new legislation, which is bipartisan, and it's really the first of its kind that's been introduced, that would defuse the debt limit permanently, meaning that it would not threaten our full faith and credit, it would not threaten the economy as a whole, it would not threaten the global financial system each time we come up against it. What it would do is it would basically accelerate the process for addressing the debt limit. It would eventually give the president the authority to request a debt limit suspension, and the only way it wouldn't happen is if Congress overwhelmingly voted against it. And then in place of having that debate, there would be an actual substantive debate in Congress about policies that would improve our fiscal standing over time. Of course, our debt to GDP ratio is around 100%. It's about the size of our economy right now, our debt burden, and that's on an unsustainable course. So we do need policies that would either increase taxes or reduce spending. And this process that was introduced by Jody Arrington and Scott Peters in the House of Representatives would try to return the attention on the underlying debt problem instead of this brinksmanship around the debt limit.
I want to pivot to the Build Back Better plan. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says that a vote will get done before Christmas. But what are they going to vote on? Because the Senate is actually still tweaking it. So do we know what's in it even at the moment? There are still criteria that, you know, that there's opposition to, for example, SALT and child care credit, tax credit.
Absolutely. There's still a number of outstanding issues. First of all, the parliamentarian in the Senate is still going through the legislation to figure out what can qualify and what will eventually get knocked out of the bill. And then there's the fact that there still is an agreement, as you've pointed out, within the Democratic Conference about what should be included in the bill. And then, of course, there's Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and what they're willing to agree to in the bill. So there are a number of outstanding items substantively and procedurally that stand in the way of getting this passed. I've certainly seen crazier things, but I'd be surprised if it got done before the holidays. This is likely to roll over into January, I think, but it remains a priority for Democrats to get this passed as soon as possible.
But I'm also wondering if, you know, the latest inflation prints that we got on both consumer prices and wholesale prices at decades high, you know, is that just going to add to the Republicans' argument that now is not the time to be spending in the way the Build Back Better bill would allow?
That has definitely raised new obstacles for the legislation. Senator Manchin has mentioned this as a concern of his. I have concerns about inflation as we head into the early part of next year. There's a lot of spending that is expected to go out the door from the federal government and into the pockets of everyday Americans. There's already the tax credits that were passed into law this year. Some of those will be paid out in the form of refunds for the child tax credit and the earned income tax credit in the upcoming tax season. And then if Build Back Better is passed, there will be more monthly payments that are going into Americans' pockets. And they're talking about making the SALT deduction, the state and local tax deduction change, retroactive, meaning that it would apply to this current year and the upcoming tax season where people are getting more money in their pockets. So if all this is infused on top of what's already 6.8% inflation, which is the latest print that we've gotten, it could really continue to exacerbate that challenge that the economy is facing right now.
And then really quickly, you know, you say in your note, ideally, the bill would be paid for on an apple to apple basis. But instead, you know, it's 10 years of taxes paying for fewer years of spending because they have this weird rotation of the things that are included and for how long.
Yeah, Democrats have decided to go for more things in terms of spending for fewer years. So they have a lot of short-term extensions of programs that will eventually expire and will need to if they want them to be extended again by passing additional legislation through Congress. So what they've done is pass several years of spending and funding that over a longer period of time with revenues. At least they're trying to pay for it, which is admirable. And in fact, there's been much legislation passed recently that hasn't even made an effort in that direction. But I do think it would be best if we were paying things for things over the duration that they were spent on. So if we want a program to eventually be permanent, we should make it permanent and find legislation that would pay for doing so.
All right. Well, it will be remarkable if we get a vote before the end of this year. We will have to leave it there. Shai Akavis, Bipartisan Policy Center Economic Policy Project Director. Thank you so much for your insight today.